The following podcast is a member of the Pokecasters Network. Pokecasters Network, supporting Pokemon content creators, their shows, and the community of Pokemon fans. To find out more, check out PokecastersNetwork.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook.
Somewhere, high up in the sky, above Violet City, there's a large floating Wailord, a blimp. Inside this blimp, two people have a conversation. Go into this blimp and we see Simon Blackwell in his long slicked back blue hair that ends in spikes, his long black coat with an R spray painted on the back. He appears to be missing an arm. He turns and he looks at this unknown figure. And as he turns and looks, appearing behind Simon is a Mr. Mime, dressed in a long coat with one Mr. Mime arm and one human arm attached to its body. This Mr. Mime, it looks like it's starting to fall apart more and more by the day. And it looks at Simon, places a hand on his shoulder, and then Simon begins to speak. So, Lieutenant, have you brought what we need? The man that Simon is speaking with has very long, porcupine-spiked, white hair. Wearing a camouflage coat over his age-weathered body. Just a pilot jacket, but all in camouflage. He's also wearing very baggy camouflage cargo pants. And he lifts up a toolbox and says, "Yeah, I brought what you asked. Can you please return my Pokemon now? No. Your Pokemon will be returned to you once this task is completed. No earlier, no later. We need our leader to survive, and his form is fading. I have given all that I can, and it's not enough. None of the materials that we've used, none of the hosts have worked. And we need to reevaluate the device before the worst happens. The lieutenant looks at this device. And he says, I'll see what I can do. But please, please, I need my Pokemon for this. We need electricity. As he says that, lightning crashes in front of, behind, all around this blimp. The mime's blank expression gets a slight little grin. The corner of its mouth turns to a grin. And Simon says, it appears we have the electricity that you require. For now, we will hold on to your Pokemon for safekeeping. Again, just get this done, and they'll be returned to you. It's a simple request with a simple reward. We only have one backup left. We need to make sure that it works. The lieutenant turns to the machine. This machine has two pods, both with openings at the very top of them. They appear to be coffin-like. In one, already, lies a body, a human one. The other one remains empty. Between these two pods is a screen, keyboard, power source, various wires that connect to and from the pods, making it so that they connect with each other. The lieutenant, looking at this, simply says, yes, I'll see what I can do. But it doesn't seem like it's an electrical issue. It seems like you've been attempting to transfer a consciousness into an organism that already has one. I'll oversee this last one. And if it doesn't work, I've got some solutions. And the mime smiles and laughs a wordless laugh, a silent laugh. It holds out its human hand as if to shake Lieutenant Surge's. Its mime hand has transferred onto Simon's. And Simon says, "We will do it one more time. If it doesn't work, we use your body. Without you in it." Do you understand, Surge? The man says, very determined, "It'll work. It's not an electrical issue. Everything's wired correctly. All you need is something without a consciousness, provided the body you have in there doesn't have one. You should be fine." Thunder continues to crash around the airship, and there's a grunt in the background that says, "Should we be turning back around for Sprout Tower?" He's given no response, so just awkwardly turns around and walks back to their post. And the screen fades. Welcome to the Reckless Rollers. I'm Scott, the GM, DM, whatever you want to call me. I run this shit. And with me, we have four of our main players and three guest stars. The guest stars will introduce themselves later.
Hi, Mom.
You're not talking.
Oh,
villain.
Your mom is here.
Oh my god?
Argo, I said the guest stars introduce themselves later.
True.
We'll see your mom later.
Wait, we got the Argo's mom for this? No way.
A lot of strings. It took a lot of strings.
But... you know, she's got it going on, or so I've heard.
Joining is... well, why don't we just go down the fucking list?
Me. I am Mars Rover, and I play as Paxson.
Hell yeah.
Hi, I'm Sleepany, and or Stephanie, depending on my mood, and I play Catchery.
Hell yeah.
I'm Argo. I'm the bird guy, and I play as Old Man Wannabe.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Tyrus, also known as Snake Emoji, and I play as Polly.
Hell.
We love Snake Emoji.
Last time, y'all managed to stumble into... well, Polly stumbled into a weird little horde of Paris. They were all just scratching at her legs, along with Glint's... Polly also found a beehive that turned out to be a fortress, and I regret not making it a wormadam instead, but at this point, too late to back out now. it was dripping honey into a very mossy-looking Snorlax. Polly
caught the fortress, but wasn't sure about it for a while because the Pokeball fell into the Snorlax's mouth. The Snorlax dug the Pokeball out, tossed it behind him while it was still shaking, and Polly proceeded to feed cookies to the Snorlax. While that was all going on, Polly also caught one of the Scritchy Scratch pairs. While all of that was going on, Catry was talking with a very, very observant,
misguided
Weepin' Bell. Observant in different ways. Thinking backwards, moving forwards, this Weepin' Bell knew the truth. And still does. You managed to catch it and decided to keep it with you to educate it.
That I did. My little conspiracy theorist is going to get educated, whether he likes it or not.
While this was all going on, Paxson was getting very, very close to destroyed by a Mawile, which Catry also caught. Paxson found a little black-flowered Bellsprout that climbed up onto his arm and joined him.
I had a little legion of Bellsprouts for a moment.
Yeah, and now you have one that you still technically haven't caught, but by the time we start this, we'll just say you did because I already added it to your party. Oh, God. Sorry, I just saw Tyrus's team.
Pull up.
For a quirky evening.
Alright. Anyway. So, all of that going on, you managed to get me back up together for the shrine, or at the shrine. Wannabe was basically having a staring contest with a Gloom that was just Tina Belchering all over. There was a Trevenant that was, like, skulking behind. Didn't want to be, like, seen by the Tina Belcher Gloom. And gave off very awkward, like, cartoon stepdad energy. That Trevenant, when asked for its name, stammered and said, Trent.
Trent's a nice guy. What?
Yeah. He's got real cartoon stepdad energy. And after you all met back up, Polly tried to play a fun little prank on Catry. It didn't turn out too well because the Snorlax that Polly said, "Oh hey, the cookies are that bag." Snorlax got big ol' wide-eyed, hungry, words, started to go straight for the Catry. Catry jumped out of the way. Paxson was right behind Catry. Got belly bumped into a tree for, like, 30 damage. wound up having to get revived or resuscitated by Glint while the Snorlax stumbled and rolled further into the woods. That was 2 hours of recording that I summed up in about 10 minutes.
Let's go.
How much content.
Yeah, there's going to be a whole lot more of this one. So, you all make it to the ruins of Alf. There is not a weird alien that there's a bunch of pogs made out of. It's there are in fact a bunch of floating letters that nobody cares about. There's also some construction workers that are just like repaving sidewalk in a way that doesn't damage the ruins. And Glint takes you into one of these stone huts inside the ruins and says, "Okay, so we only have a little bit of time.
Yes?
Here, take this. Get your teams all ready. Whatever Pokemon you aren't able to catch, or you aren't able to keep in a Pokeball, there's a way this device, this tablet, will override any original trainer. As long as you can promise me you didn't steal any of these Pokemon. And he's eyeing one of these Espeon and Paxson's Impidimp and the Golett.
No. But they were from bad people. Then they found us, like, said, come along with us.
All right. Yeah. Well, here, he holds it up to these creatures, these Pokemon, scans them, types in a few things, and overrides the original trainer as you all. They're now officially your Pokemon. You can put them in Pokeballs now.
Let's go.
And he says, there's a reason why we have to do this carefully and cautiously. And while he's doing this, he's eyeing this periwinkle blue weeping bell that's just like screaming at the top of its lungs over and over again. And he just says, this isn't gonna go well. But we have to at least try. There's a lot at stake here. And for right now, we're the only ones that can do this. As far as I know, we do have backup on the way, but that they're gonna take a little bit of time to get here. So make sure that when you go in, all of your Pokemon are in their Pokeballs. He eyes the Weeping Bell one more time.
So, yeah, I don't know why he's screaming. He's still... Weeping Bell.
You don't catch any actual words out of this.
Yeah, Weeping
Bell.
Yeah,
it's literally
doesn't.
Just...
He is just screaming at the unknown.
I love this scream.
Glint just says, whatever Pokemon that just absolutely will not stay in the Pokeballs, you're just gonna have to leave here. We can't risk having any of this be compromised. And again, he stares at this screaming Weeping Bell.
Listen, I have his Pokeball. If things get out of hand, I'll return him. It's fine.
Can you please just put him in the Pokeball?
It's really important lessons for him. You know he's a conspiracy theorist?
You know these people have guns?
Alright, I'll let him out after we catch them. Alright, conspiracy theorist. I'm sorry. I'll have to educate you later.
I appreciate it. That would very, very much compromise our position. He hands each of you the tablet. Katri, he has overrided the Oricorio's original trainer ID and made it yours. You are the official owner for the Oricorio, which means you can put it in a Pokeball.
Base.
He just made sure that you all promised that they weren't stolen.
I would never steal.
He hands each of you this tablet, says this is a prototype. They wanted me to hold on to it for basically testing things out while I'm going around doing my hunting, but it's a portable box. You just type in, you just swipe your trainer ID into the side right here, and it'll pop up with all of the Pokemon you have in the box. There's a slot in the back. You put the shrunk down Pokeball that you're swapping out with, and it'll bring whatever you're bringing in to replace it. So,
that's rather neat. Quick,
I know. It's pretty cool. They'll be marketing these in about a year and a half.
The power of science is staggering.
I know.
It sure do be, but we'll focus on that later. For now, We gotta get up Sprout Tower. We gotta get up there quickly. We gotta get up there quietly.
What's in Sprout Tower?
The controls for the blimp, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
And a whole lot of these motherfucking revolution people. All of my sources say that this entire town is their base of operations. But what we're going for, he points up at the Waylord blimp, and as he points up, you notice that even though it's night at this time, there's dark clouds above you, and you can see little crackling lightning between the clouds, and it starts to rain. He points up at this blimp and says, "Our targets are up there. That fucking mime, Simon Blackwell, their admins, they're all up there. And I'm sure they've got a couple other people up there too. Prisoners, scientists, anyone that they would consider valuable, they're gonna be up there. So here's my plan." And then the scene kind of fades. Because whatever his plan is, it's going to go out exactly how you all play it. Because fuck it. We cut to about 15-20 minutes later. I say it's that amount of time because the Weeping Bell keeps popping out of the Pokeball to protest the plan.
I think we should ask him what he thinks the plan should be. And then we can carefully, constructively tell him why it's a bad plan.
Okay, let me see. Weeping Bell, what is your suggestion?
He pretends to not understand what you're saying.
He's pretending that I can't speak to him.
During this 20 minutes, Gloom and Trent, the Trevenant, have they're kind of like walking hand in hand along the ruins, and Trent just kind of looks at you wannabe and says,
"Hey, I gotta get this little one back to her mom, so we should probably get going."
Yeah, you don't want to be hit, but in this radius, looks like things are going to crazy. Good luck.
Please stop making fun of the way I talk.
No, I was being quiet. It's like a whisper. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
I was being a whisper.
I don't know, just... this is a very tense situation. I feel like I wish we just came to second mind.
And he starts to walk
nearby. They're hearing us. This Weeping Bell scream.
Yeah, like...
Trent and the Gloom start to walk down Route 32, narrowly avoiding a couple of Wooper that are just also screaming, but happily.
All right, conspiracy theorists, get back in your fucking Pokeball. If you're not willing to compromise and have a discussion, then I'm not going to put up with you spouting your nonsense, okay?
He gets sucked into the ball mid-scream.
What am I going to do with him?
So, yeah, we fade to about 10-15 minutes later. You all are in whatever respective disguises you choose to be in.
Disguises?
Where's my hoping... phone? I'm hoping, beyond all hope, that Katri is not going to be wearing that Wigglytuff costume.
Oh, wait, yeah, they hate Pokemon, don't they? Fuck! My first opportunity to wear it.
Don't worry, you still got the blimp.
You're right. I have a Team Rocket uniform. That doesn't seem like a good idea.
Oh, right, you do.
I do.
I think you have, like, one for all of you.
I have a male Rocket uniform, and I have half of a female Rocket uniform. But, like, the bottom half of Rocket uniform is, like, black pants, so that's really easy to, like...
Yeah. I think you're already wearing black pants.
Yeah, okay. Y'all. Which one of you wants this male Team Rocket uniform? Would this be helpful? Do you, like...
Glint just says... Well, Team Rocket hasn't really been a thing in a few years, so I guess some folks would consider it to be like retro at this point.
I mean, I could be able to wear it. They might be thinking I'm one of the older guys coming to join this group.
You know that.
Hate to say it.
That's actually pretty smart.
I hate to say it, but I think that's actually a really good plan, wannabe.
Yeah, no, that's genius.
That's actually really smart.
Seems some of my friends in the war did join them. It makes age group.
I could put on this female uniform, and you could just say that I was like a newer recruit who was like, you know, trying to join, not like necessarily knowing.
Just a Rocket fanatic.
Yeah, that I'm just like a Rocket fanatic, and you were like, oh, you know what? I was gonna join this evil organization anyway, so you should just come join with me. Or, like, you know? I feel like we shouldn't be going off alone if we're doing something like this.
Yeah. Glint, in this disguise, he's wearing, like, he's basically just trying to dress as casually as he can. He's got his tattoos covered up. He's wearing a long sleeve, like, white button-up shirt. Basically, he's wearing, like, work clothes. And he has, like, the most tired, like, makeup on. Trying to make it look like he just got out of work. And he just says, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. He's, like, trying to act as tired as he can, even though you all can tell he's extremely wired. What's Polly disguised as?
Alright, yeah, I do have to come up with a proper disguise, don't I? Okay, this is off the fly. You know what? We'll be doing a baseball cap, the handkerchief around the mouth, and a baggy hoodie and baggy pants, because we're just gonna act like we're a hooligan. Gotta cover as much as my body as possible. They might recognize me as a gym leader if I don't, so.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, do you guys should make contact second wave? He points to his eyes, takes off his glasses. They can't give a good signal of what I am.
Glint.
I mean, a lot of people can wear glasses.
Glint picks up, like, he opens up his bag and he takes out, like, a couple packs of these colored contacts and he says, yeah, here.
Thank you.
And he hands you some unopened ones. Don't worry. And they're, like, just dirt brown in color.
I'll take no more dirt brown, Nate.
But yeah, you all are in your various disguises. I guess we'll get Mars's once they wake up. So with all of your various disguises, I think that it's best to go Katri and Wannabe first, and then the other three following.
Do we have, like, earpieces or any way to, like, communicate with each other when we're separated?
You have your watches.
Okay.
Basically, you have them all, like, linked up to reveal wherever your locations are until you disable that. And basically, disabling it is, like, a quick disable, and re-enable is, like, your signal for, hey, we're compromised. Because it'll let out a loud beep. So, Katri and Wannabe, you both walk in, and I feel like one of you roll Guile.
Oh god, which one of us has you're not Guile?
Wannabe has a 1 in Guile.
I have 46 Guile, so maybe let me do all the talking.
Yeah, so since if you're going in as if you're wanting to be recruited, you're not necessarily sneaking in. You're going in under a pretense. So you'll be rolling Guile to try and keep up that pretense.
Yeah, okay. Wannabe, let me do a lot of the talking, okay?
Oh, he gives you a thumbs. I know. Go do the talking.
All right, cool. All right, let me roll my guile. 14.
14. You start to make your way straight to Bell Tower, both you and Wannabe. A couple people give you, like, these weird looks, but for the most part, they don't pay either of you any mind. Until about the other end of the bridge, when your ball opens up and you start to hear...
Motherfucker! I'm just gonna return him literally as fast as I can.
Please, just... Can you give him somewhere else?
What do you want me to do with him? He's in the ball. He shouldn't be able to do this.
He can escape because he doesn't believe in Pokeballs.
Fuck you. Fuck the Pokeball. Boy, he'll believe in fucking duct tape. Give me the damn Pokeball.
Here. You have duct tape on you?
Yes, I have duct tape.
You really are an old man. Old men always have duct tape.
And butterscotch.
True. Nah, butterscotch wannabe?
Nah, I'm more of a caramel guy.
Roll 1d6.
Me?
No, wannabe. Oh.
Yeah, do you have a candy for me?
A 5.
You have 4 caramel candies in your pocket.
I got caramel.
And I have
you one. Have no idea how they got there.
Wait, I feel like it. I'm not going to ask. Anyway, tying the Pokeball up in duct tape. I'm not doing what I might do.
Okay, I'm doing. Give me the fucking duct tape then, and I'll do it.
A few people give you dirty looks, but they realize that you have the big red R plastered on your chest, so they're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And they just kind of, like, steer clear of you. They know what you're there for, or what they believe you're there for, and they let you carry on. Polly, since you're the only one conscious out of the three of you, other than Clint, the three of you are going to be sneaking. So, unfortunately, the stealth roll is going to fall on you.
Alright, I have, like, average stealth, so I hope this goes well. Alright. That's pretty okay. I got a 9 out of 2d6.
Alright, so for your first stealth roll, that's not too bad. You, Clint, and Paxson start going through some of these back alleys, trying to avoid as many of the local population as you can. Take these side streets. And when you start to see, like, a couple crowds of people, you duck into another alley. Roll another one.
Alright, again. Let's just pray it's decent.
I'll say that since you're all kind of in inconspicuous, like, outfits, as far as I know, you can add a d6.
That's good. That's 11 out of that with the extra d6.
Alright, this group that was in the path that you were trying to go down, that you had to duck into an alleyway to avoid, they pass through. They look to be drunk. But you do notice that a lot of the people that are out and about on the streets in the rain at this time of night, they're all wearing black hoodies. They're all wearing face masks.
I see.
And you keep going further and further until you get to the only way into Sprout Tower. A bridge. On the other end, you can see two people wearing all black. One of them is a little bit taller than the other. And as you're looking at them, you see a flash of red light and then a loud scream. And then you see a flash of red light and then the screaming stops. And you hear, like, muffled conversation between the two people as they look like they're trying to wrap up a Pokeball. Roll another stealth, and you're out in public now, not wearing the same clothes as all of these other people. So it's going to be flat.
Mm. Oh, well, this is another 11, so that's good.
All right. They look at... They're too focused on the fact that those two people across the bridge had a Pokeball. Oh, wait. Are those rockets? Oh, they're probably gonna go see Julian. The guard will let him through. That's what you overhear from some of the passerby as they just continue on their way. And you're able to get across the bridge. You meet up with Katri and Wannabe pretty easily. And when all of you make it to the entrance to Sprout Tower, there's a couple of these Revolution people guarding it. They appear to be holding these, they look like rifles, but you can see at the end of them, they have a clear tube for the barrel, and you can see the tip of a needle poking out, in that clear tube. They appear to be like syringe guns. And as you start to walk up, they don't point them at you, but they do brandish them and say, "All right, state your business. What are you here for?" Well, any of you.
I'm not talking. I'm not talking. I'm not going.
Sorry, we're looking to join.
Alright. What Pokemon do you have on you?
I mean, I have a couple on me. Why do you need to know?
You need to turn them in. We give you Pokemon that we authorize.
I see. I mean, between all of us, I don't know about everyone else, but I have this Weepinbell, and I hand him the Weepinbell's Pokeball.
Alright. You hand over the Truther Weepinbell's Pokeball. It is covered in duct tape, and he starts to unwrap it. I don't know if I would unwrap it.
It's gonna... The Pokemon in there is going to burst out once you unwrap it. We had to do that so it wouldn't keep popping out.
Yeah, he's very unhinged.
Alright. Do you have any other Pokemon? Like I said, you need to turn them all in. You can only use Pokemon that we authorize.
It's the only one I have on me.
Roll Deception. Or Guile. Alright. He turns to you, Wannabe.
I don't really have any. I don't have any since I left Team Rocket.
Roll Guile.
Help me.
Wait, do any of us have that helping hand ability, like, feature?
I'll give Wannabe an additional dice because Katri was so convincing and it looks like they showed up together.
Okay, first 1d6 was a 6. Check the second one. Come on, where's Guy? Wait, where the fuck is it? Oh. Oh, yeah, I gotta do it like this.
6.
Okay, that was a 10. That was a 10.
Alright. He squints at you for a second. Says, you know, you look a little familiar.
Well, I was back with those Team Rocket days, Sonny.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you may have seen him in, like, a newspaper or something.
Sarge, is that you?
Why'd you say sorry, but my ears ain't working as good as it used to.
Is that you, Sarge? You take a closer look. This was someone in your platoon.
Oh, God! catch out of the bag.
How the hell you doing, brother? He holds a hand out for you.
He takes a full shake.
He pulls you in and he says, I know you have Pokemon. I'll let you through. Just try to be more convincing. Consider it a favor.
Thank you so much.
I'm giving Wannabe some major fucking side eye.
And then he pushes you a little bit. Turns to Polly. How about you? Why are you here?
You know, I'm with them. I'm also here to join.
Roll Guile.
Yeah, let's see what Guile I get. I only have 1d6, praying.
What?
This is a solid 4.
Why am I the only good liar?
He looks at you a little skeptically and says, okay, any Pokemon on you?
Yeah, but I doubt anything you could provide me with would be as top class.
Doesn't matter. We can only give you Pokemon that we authorize. We have to process them. If they're good enough by our admin standards, you'll get them back. But if they're too good, they're keeping them.
Alright.
Are you handing them over?
I'm handing one over.
Which one?
My parents.
Okay. He holds the Pokeball. Says, any reason I shouldn't open this?
No. I mean, unless you're scared of being attacked by my big, strong, powerful Pokemon. But...
you know what? I'll risk it. He taps it open, and instantly his face gets scratched all to hell by this Paris.
Damn!
And as he's doing this, his partner, who also was brandishing one of those syringe guns, says, hey, put it back, and he starts to hold it shakingly towards the guy's face. Like, towards the Paris. He's saying, okay, put it back.
Alright.
Like, not noticing that this guy has the Pokeball in his hand. And if you're rushing forward to grab the Pokeball and return the Paris, you're going to need to roll athletics.
Well, I excel at this, luckily. Alright. This is a 14 out of 46.
Alright. You pull the Pokeball out of this man's hand. Wannabe, you know him as Reggie. You return the Paris, and right as you return the Paris, the other Revolution Grunt pulls the trigger, and one of the syringes goes right into Reggie's forehead. and he starts to convulse. So Glint's got Paxson slung up on his shoulder and says, "Yeah, we're also here to join. I took all of his Pokemon. He only had two. And I had one." And he pulls out three Pokeballs and places them in the other guard's hand as Reggie convulses on the floor next to him. Are we okay to go in now? The guard just says, "Yeah, whatever, I don't give a shit. Okay, just go. I gotta..." He's like digging frantically through his bag for like an EpiPen or some medication to give Reggie.
Hey, so I do a quick question is where like are you gonna hold these Pokemon in the meantime? Just so that we know where to go once you guys are done testing them.
Well, we put them up through these pneumatic tubes. They go up to the top of the tower. And they get added to a pile.
Alright, cool. Top of the tower. Got it.
Yeah. You'll be going to floor 2 processing.
Awesome. Thank you.
And as you walk in, thunder crashes behind you.
I have a question. Am I able to, like, pick up the Pokeball the man dropped that has my parents in it? Will that will keep it? Do I have to roll anything for that?
There's not really a sleight of hand. So I'll say stealth.
Alright, we'll roll stealth.
What's your stealth?
2d6.
Okay, minus 2, because I was going to say, because if mine is higher, I could try to.
I got a 10, I got 2 fives. So.
Alright. The other guy's a little too focused on healing up Reggie, who is convulsing slightly less now. So you walk in through the doors to Sprout Tower. Polly, you've managed to very, very slyly keep hold of your Paris. Glint just looks at you and says, "I just handed him empty Pokeballs. You know you could have done that too, right?"
That would have been a good idea.
Okay, and then what happens when they open up the fucking Pokeballs?
Well, yours was covered in duct tape, so... I think they would have believed you regardless. I was mostly banking on the fact that dude's a little distracted, so... Let's keep going. I think we should be okay as long as we try and remain inconspicuous and just stay on the second floor for a little bit. We can scout around and maybe we can wander up one at a time. I mean, I'm probably going to have to keep holding on to this kid, but Paxson is just straight up asleep. It's way past his bedtime.
What's like... I mean, what is, like, stopping us from being able to, like, go up as high as we want? Do we think there's, like, key cards or, like, passcodes? Like, because I feel like, you know, we're trying to get to the top here, right? Because that's probably where they have the info we need.
I don't think these floors are empty. There's probably a couple people in on each floor processing, watching, providing security. And they're probably guarding each set of stairs, so we'll have to be careful.
Okay,
You can probably try and bypass it by distracting the guard somehow.
Well, if we use disguises in part to get in here, I'm wondering if, like, you know, maybe we can try to spot a janitor and just, like, you know, fucking bonk him on the head, you know?
That might work. Thunder crashes a little bit more behind you.
It's a stormy fucking day today.
Roll perception again.
Okay, what's my perception? Um, 13.
As you're going from floor 1 to floor 2, you notice there's no janitor. The floors are covered in dust and dirt. You can see tracked footprints bringing in mud and like wetness from people coming in from the rain. It looks like people came in here and just didn't care after that. Hold on, I'm getting a random call from Ontario.
Me?
No.
I hope not. That'd be kind of weird.
Where did I get your phone number?
Why would you call me when we're already in a call?
To vibe check you? I would totally do that. If I had a friend in here that, like, I, like, knew in person and I had the phone number up, I would totally call them mid-session. Just to fuck with them. It would be so funny. Also, I just remembered, and I'm sorry that this it doesn't necessarily have to do with, like, the overall session right now. I have to roll to find out if I'm getting, my super secret item or not.
Oh, right. Go on ahead and do that.
What am I rolling? I forget.
A d20.
Okay. I got a nat 1.
Yeah, that just...
I don't think I'm getting my secret item.
Nope. Peat block's still a peat block.
Oh. Alright, well...
And it's gonna remain that way for the remainder of the session, or the campaign.
Yeah. That's sad.
Yep. Rip. Anyway. You notice that floors are dirty, there hasn't really been much upkeep. It looks like whoever's been in here, basically, they're squatting here and not providing any upkeep. So, no janitors. You could probably try and, like... Actually, you do notice that in the processing area, the second floor, there's just, like, a pile of the black hoodies, or the dark hoodies with the blue spray painted R on the back. Just a huge pile of them in a basket. And that basket stank.
Oh. Well, the sacrifices we make, y'all, should we go see if they have our sizes? And I'm like, I'll point out the basket as I'm saying this.
Yeah, we should probably do that.
I ain't wearing it smelling like that.
Okay, listen, I know, I don't want to either, but, like, listen, no, this might
I'm gonna fix this.
How are you gonna fix this?
Look, I brought a little dude just for the job.
Okay, well, then fix mine too.
Alright, I must send out Potts the Milsery and use aromatic mist on the clothes so they don't smell awful.
Alright. You do that. And instantly, you hear an alarm.
or are you just muted?
Who knows? My team I'm bringing for this is straight heat, by the way, y'all.
Oh, you, me too. I've innovated so much for, like, creative stuff.
Because I feel like a lot of my main staples are already good. I just kind of swapped out a few because I wanted to have a little bit more of a balanced team.
I have half main staples. Yeah, hold on. I should post mine. I have, like, half main staples and half Pokemon I've never used before.
I also not listed is my Truth or Weepinbell, which will just be following us around, not participating in battles. I'd like his input on what's going on. Mostly, I'm going to try to educate him throughout and be like, see? Bad people.
Alright. So, let's go on ahead and get this started, huh?
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Chunky all right. VC.
How's Paxson disguised? Mars.
Please be
Mars.
Oh no.
Mars
Rover!
Oh god.
Oh god, they got to Paxson.
Well, I guess we'll get to Mars later.
All right.